Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Robin Sutton. She is the author of Ambrosia Weapons Underworld. It's a great science fiction novel that will spark your curiosity, especially if you have an interest in places like Atlantis or the Bermuda Triangle, or maybe possibly other cities that have been swallowed by our large bodies of water. But first, a little bit about Robin. Robin Sutton grew up in the military, which means she moved from place to place. Some of the places she lived were at Missouri, Iowa, Hawaii, and several parts of Texas. She currently lives in Fort Worth with her family. Her first book, The Princess and the Rose, was published in 2001. In 2004, she published her second book, My Heart Forever. In 2009, she published her first science fiction novel, Ambrosia, Weapons Underworld. And, of course, this is the one that we're talking about today. And to find out more about her, go to therobinsnastbooks.com. Hi, Robin.
Hello.
I'm so glad to be talking to you because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, and that's Atlantis. And, you know, there, as we know, there are so many theories about Atlantis and did it really exist and what happened to the people. And, you know, recently I read something about the Mayans actually came from Atlantis. And so there's just a lot of prophecies out there. And I know that you have done a lot of research. What did your research, what did you glean from your research on Atlantis?
Well, and it's ongoing research, too, because things come up all the time, but it's reading books, different types of books, books people have written on Atlantis, which sometimes I find amusing how you can write on something that's a myth right now. There's been all kinds of neat things out about it on the History Channel, but I like to look at the facts that are released in books and on the History Channel or other places than just funny UFO-type things. And I agree with you. I think the Mayans could have descended from it, or the Olmec is where I've kind of gotten some ideas that they might have been there. Even over in Europe, you know, they could have gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot out there, and there's even more coming out all the time.
Yes, it sure seems like it. And do you, from the research that you have done, Robin, do you believe that actually Atlantis did exist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think it existed in the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
And the most recent thing I've seen is that they might have found some underwater temples off of Cuba. And so that's part of why I think it just started in the Caribbean.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I believe that that's what I've read, too. It seems that most of that research is being pointed there. And, of course, you know, a lot of the prophecies, stories have been passed down. And then, like you had just mentioned, is it a myth? And so I question also if it's a myth. Of course, as we know, stories are passed down and people embellish them. But there has to be some kind of a base at some point.
Right, right. And I believe it existed. It's just until we have something there. How can you write about a culture and how can you write about what they did every day if you don't even know where they did it or who they were?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Mayans, they'll admit, okay, here's what we do know, but here's what we speculate.
Right, right. You have a different theory for your book, The Ambrosia Weapons Underworld. And so what theory did you come up with?
There's been a lot of cute little shows and stories of mermaids and their association with Atlantis. And so I took that and had some fun with it. But I also tried to mix it to where some of it was real life, you know, because people like to analyze things. And, well, that could never happen and this could never exist. So I thought, well, okay, let's take the theory that, hey, there is an underwater world there. And they can walk or they can swim, you know. So I take the fun of mixing the mermaid stories with Atlantis, but also putting some possibilities how they could be among us, and having fun like people do with the UFO stories, you know.
Uh-huh. And did you do research on mermaids? You know, that's always fascinated me. Where did they come from? You know, that's one thing I've never done research on.
Well, what's funny is I didn't do a lot of research on mermaids for this book, but I did for my next book, and mostly they're old sea stories from back in the pirate days or in 1700s, 1600s. They claim they'd see mermaids. They claim that mermaids saved their life, and there's just all kinds of cute little stories about them out there. So they're just all myths and legends. It's probably a fish they saw or a body or who knows.
Well, it could be illusions, you know, being out at sea for days or weeks or months on end, the mind starts playing tricks.
Well, and back then they were so superstitious,
mm-hmm.
and someone could say something and they'd believe it. You know, there were sea monsters, too, and the world was flat, so.
Exactly, and we know that the world isn't flat, but we're just not really sure about the sea monsters, though there still may be some, because we haven't proven the fact that there aren't.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe there are mermaids. The Bermuda Triangle, that's always fascinated me, too, and there again, there are stories of planes and ships that disappear, and who knows where they went. And I know that you've also done research on that, too, and what can you tell us? That what you have found out about the Bermuda Triangle?
Well, I saw something on, it was either the Discovery Channel or the History Channel, and I love those two channels, that they think it's the methane gas bubbles that come up and it distorts, you know, their compasses and things like that, and that's what causes them to either go vertigo or go crash into the sea or get lost or whatever. So I kind of took that theory and put it in mind as, okay, we don't want to get discovered that these guys are getting too close, so we're going to disrupt them and create this scary thing about the Bermuda Triangle so people will stay away. So that's kind of where I had fun with that.
Do you think that our society tends to exploit things, you know, especially things that we don't understand?
Yes.
And
yes.
In what way?
We tend to either avoid them, we don't want to talk about them, if we're uncomfortable with them, if they go against, a lot of ways, our religious beliefs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that's why a lot of scientists and stuff don't want to recognize possibly the existence of Atlantis or anything like that, because it may go against certain beliefs we have that we hold on to, our customs, our cultures, just we don't like new things either, to a point, a lot of us, and it scares us, and then when we find out it's okay, oh, okay, well, that's great. And then something else new comes, oh, I'm not sure about that, you know. So, yeah, new things, new ideas, different ideas, those things tend to creep into our secure environment.
You know, and that fear of the unknown is so huge, and it's way up there on the fairy chart. It's just, you know, as human beings, we really fear the unknown.
Yeah.
And, you know, from that I think also that a lot of the myths have been created as well. Did you find that in your research too?
Yeah, a lot of the myths are from that, our insecurities, wanting to blame something other than ourselves. Yeah, because a lot of people don't like to take responsibility for things, so they'll come up with something. Oh, well, it's because of this, it's because of that, that's what caused it. It's not my own fault. It's not my own silliness or having a bad day. It's because of a mermaid or the ship went down because of this, not bad sailing or whatever.
Yeah, you know, as you're saying that, what I'm reminded of is that when I was a child, one of the myths now and something that I know that my parents believed, and, of course, I believed them, and what it was is when there was thunder, and especially if it was really bad thunder, it was God that was stamping on heaven's floor with his feet because he was angry at us for what we did something wrong. And I just remember, you know, having this big storm came up and there was thunder and hail and so on. And I took on the blame that I had taken a cookie out of the cookie jar and God was angry with me.
That's cute because I always thought of it as the angels were bowling and every time it was a loud clap of thunder, it was somebody getting a strike.
Well, I like that one. But, you know, where did these myths come from? And there again is that fear of the unknown, I think, that we're talking about.
Well, yeah, because we still have superstitions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we'll claim we don't.
Right.
You know,
right.
We still, Friday the 13th, or you break a mirror, or somebody has their lucky shorts for this, or their lucky shirt, or their lucky this, or coin. You know,
yeah, and you don't.
We all have our little superstitions, you know.
You don't walk under a ladder, or if you know a black cat crosses your path, and this goes on and on. And it's always interesting to see where those come from. Now, your book, Ambrosia Weapons Underworld. Give us a little lowdown on what this book is about and kind of related to some of the things that we just talked about.
Well, it's putting out another theory that there is a world under the water. It's taking that mermaid and the Atlantis and putting it together and saying, okay, some of them survived underwater and they function, they have a city, they live similar to us except that they can swim. They're a bit more advanced than us. They have really more advanced weapons, vehicles that they can move around under the water throughout their city. They have businesses. They have families. They have, you know, so there's similarities. There's differences. And then the similarities are also that someone wants to have more power, which is Matthew, which is like, you know, Donald Trump or anybody. They want to control a lot of things. But he wants to bring Ambrosia out from under the water. He wants to be part of the other world. And so then Elena, you know, he's wanting to take her over. He starts out wanting her for one reason and then falls in love with her. And then he brings out things in her that she's having to deal with. And then there's a third party into the mix. So it just creates a lot of fun things and shows you a different side of, a city that survived that was part of Atlantis.
So this, of course, all takes underwater, but, you know, how different is it up on here on the surface in our lives right now? You're talking about, you know, people wanting more power and control.
Yeah, no, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show that even though they're underwater, it's like us with different cultures. You know, we go and see other cultures, and they're really not that much different than us. They just have a different atmosphere that they live in, a different part of the world, a different culture, a different way of doing things. But they all have to raise their family, have children, eat. You know, there's similarities, and then there's differences. And so I was showing that as, okay, if there's a city under the water, they can be similar to us, but a little different.
Uh-huh.
And it's that difference that they're afraid if it's exposed, it can be taken advantage of. It can be, almost put on display like a freak show, taken over. You know, so there's so many fears they have about being exposed where Matthew doesn't feel that would happen. So
do you feel that in our society now on top of the water on the earth plate, that we actually do have societies also that just do not want to be found out?
Oh, I'm sure. Uh-huh. I'm sure. I mean, there's what, tribes in the Amazon and all of that still live the same way that they have for thousands and thousands of years, and we find them barbaric and strange, and we go in there and thinking, oh, you know, what's wrong with these people? They need to come to the 21st century. Well, no, if this is how they live and how they want to live, leave them alone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what they think, like capitalism, well, we don't agree with that. Uh-huh. Doesn't mean I agree with it either, but that's all they know.
Yeah.
So why is it bad? They don't think it's bad. We may think it's bad because, yeah, I don't want to get AIDS, but any culture's like that. They think something else is bad because they don't understand it and don't want to accept it because it goes against what we believe.
Yeah, and there again, as we talked earlier, it's the fear of the unknown as well.
Right.
You know, it's just so much our beliefs and our thoughts and attitudes and actions and reactions are based on fear many times, you know, the negative ones especially. So, and once we can get past that, then, of course, we have that acceptance. And, well, your story sounds really interesting, and I know that our listening audience will really be intrigued in this because from what I'm hearing is that you are bringing today's society, 21st century, and actually putting it underneath, but yet, you know, having this subculture under the water, in the living under the sea that is there and basically has the same type of lifestyle as we do in many cases. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's just bringing all our myths and theories and legends and stories and what we like to believe into a story that could be possible, but not really, you know.
I understand. And, Robin, where can the listening audience find your book?
Several locations. Amazon has it, or they can go to my site, which is therobinsnestbooks.com. And there's a list there of the different places they can also get a copy of the book.
Uh-huh. Good. And that was therobinsnestbooks.com.
Yes.
It's a long URL, but I'm just going to repeat it one more time for our listening audience. therobinsnestbooks.com.
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Gosh, Robin, this has been really interesting, and it's it spiked my interest again in Atlantis, and I'm just going to have to do a little more research on this myself again and get into it, because I have these spurts, and my interest in Atlantis has been around for a long time. I really appreciate you talking to us, giving a little bit of insight on your book, and also on some of our societal issues and Bermuda Triangle, Atlantis, and so on, and I know that our listening audience will enjoy this book. Our reviewer certainly did, and from what I've seen, others have too. So thank you so much for talking to us and being with us on this interview, Robin.
Well, thank you for having me.
And listeners, this is Irene Watson, Inside Scoop Live. Come again and listen to others. Bye-bye for now.